Support this podcast via our Patreon and get more writerly goodness. Visit patreon.com/nanocast to join up.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of 24 books, 34 short stories, and countless articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this quest to raise your output to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life. Welcome to The Questions, Episode 210. Continuing with our series of questions on teaching writing to teenagers and children, Robert says, I've noticed that many students are unwilling to write words they don't know how to spell. Paper dictionaries are pushed as the solution. I think tech is the answer. I've improved in my spelling by being corrected as I type, as well as by being able to instantly look up words I'm unsure of. I've then brought that knowledge to my handwritten work. Dare you enter this debate?
Both of them are great. Paper dictionaries are wonderful because they enable the accidental discovery of other words. Real-time spelling correction is great because it provides real-time feedback and allows you to learn and tweak as you go. Having an instantly accessible electronic dictionary on your writing computer is also fantastic, especially if, like the one I've got, it's coupled with a thesaurus and an etymological dictionary, because then it becomes much easier to find synonyms if you've discovered you've used the same words 50 times on a page and you didn't mean to. There's nothing wrong with it if you meant to, but if you didn't mean to and you were just having a brain failure, oh boy, is it nice to have that instant thesaurus at hand, let me tell you. So I'm very much a both and kind of guy. The ability to command all of these tools is really important, and that would be something I would encourage you to inculcate in your students, because then they'll be able to navigate no matter what tools they have to hand. Another thing that'll help is, like I was talking about in yesterday's episode, dealing with roots of words so that they'll have more of the particles of language. They'll be able to put together spellings of words that will be more likely to be correct. If they don't know or can't guess where the word might have come from, and they've only heard it spoken, and spoken in a localized accent no less, they'll be a lot more lost and reduced to trying to spell phonetically, versus if they have sort of a command of the history of the language, even a marginal command of the history of the language, where they will be able to recognize, oh, that syllable sounds like this other word, and this other word is vaguely related, so I'll bet you that syllable and this other word share the common root, so that syllable's gotta be spelled like this other word is. It's not foolproof, but it really does work. And then finally, daring to spell phonetically and then be corrected on it, that's fine too. Some people will find that having the little red underlines on the real-time spell checker is a real impediment to what they're doing because it breaks their groove. In an era of spell check, there's really, really no reason to be scared of spelling a word wrong. All you have to do is run it before you turn it in. Now, you might wind up having used the wrong word, or you may have spelled it phonetically when there's a homophone situation going on, in which case you're going to get it wrong, but those are the sorts of things that are the harder parts of the language to learn and the parts that you definitely want to learn anyway in a safe context instead of finding out the hard way in a business communication when you're 22 years old. Not that I speak from experience. So approaching it that way and emphasizing to your students that the way you're teaching them is designed to create in them resilience and adaptability so that they will be masters of their own path in life. That'll go a long way because teenagers want to be masters of themselves. They generally resent having adults be the masters of them. So hitting that note kind of hard will probably get you a little more compliance and a little more gameliness when you're suggesting these different things. And reward risk-taking. Even when you have to correct a badly taken risk, find a way to reward the risk-taking. People will be more willing to take a risk if they are rewarded for the fact that they risked, even if they failed, than if they are punished for risking and failing. You don't want to take the sting out of the failure, but there's a difference between rewarding a failure and rewarding the risk that led to the failure. You always want to reward the risk, even though you don't want to reward the failure. With certain kinds of people, different personality types that your students will have, with some of them that's going to be easier to find that balance for than others. But it will probably help a lot to start thinking along those lines, because then, frankly, you're going to be employing some really good operant conditioning in them, which will be both to your benefit as a teacher and especially to their benefit as students. So I really hope that helps. I'm totally enjoying this series, and I can't wait to get to tomorrow's. So I'm going to head over there right now, and I'll see you then.
The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions. Visit our website at everydaynovelist.com and leave a tip in the tip jar or join the Patreon to support this podcast. The Everyday Novelist is copyright 2017 J. Daniel Sawyer and Artistic Whispers Productions, Inc. and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License.